So we're continuing to pray and to seek the Lord. And let me say one thing I'm learning of as I grow older, more and more, and embracing and even finding great joy in, is this whole work of the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. You see, because God is indeed sovereign over our lives. But listen, sovereignty includes, and this is where we are in the book of Job, sovereignty includes when God does things I don't like. Come on, I need to hear some amens off of that one. See when it's in there, when that one come, then the amen be pulling back. Hold, wait a second, Pastor, hold on now. Hey, come on now. Come on, wasn't it Jesus who said, Lord, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, nevertheless. See, I'm saying that with sovereignty is when God does things I don't like. That's what Jonah's whole problem was. Go preach to the Nineveh. No, God. Those people hate us. They kill us. They murder us. I'm not going. I'm going the opposite way. And that's what Jonah did. Why? Because Jonah didn't like what God was doing. God is sovereign, though. He's sovereign. And he does things that we don't appreciate. He does things that don't set well with us. You say, my Father who's in heaven, read Hebrews chapter 12. No correction seems to be joyous at the present time. But it's difficult. Come on. But it's necessary, and it brings about the peaceable fruit of righteousness in us. But God does things that we don't like. Doesn't set well with us. So God, through that, he taught Jonah a lesson. Amen. So Jonah, he goes, why? Because God has ways of persuading his people to submit themselves to his sovereign work in their lives. Jonah goes and preaches the gospel. And God shows Jonah his mercy. Because when Jonah was up on a hill suffering from the sun and the heat, God created a gourd, and the gourd came up in a night and grew up over Jonah. Sovereign hand of God. Jonah is basking in the sovereign hand of God. Oh, yes. This is wonderful. This is the way I want it, God. This is the way. Relieve me. But then God prepared a worm the next night to eat up the gourd. And now Jonah's mad. He wants to die. Okay, God, take my life away from me. I'm not fit to live because you're not treating me the way I want it, God. And then God said this. Are you right to be angry about the gourd? Jonah says, I'm right to be angry about the gourd. He said, let me tell you something. We serve a merciful God. We serve a merciful God, church. Come on, come on. Look. Oh, God. Look, you not only notice when you look in the mirror, but all you got to do is watch the news. And you know, we serve a merciful God. And so God said, you had pity on the gourd, which you didn't grow. You didn't cause it to come up, but you had pity on it. But you don't want me to have pity on 120,000 people who can't tell the left hand from the right. What Jonah didn't realize or couldn't recognize or wouldn't recognize was that the same sovereignty that wanted to save the Ninevites was the sovereignty that caused him to spend the day in the shade, relieving him of his suffering. He said, God, your sovereignty is good for me when it works for me. But that's only when it's good for me. But see, here's the beautiful thing. In all of that, God was sovereign, because God could have left Jonah in the belly of a fish. He could have left Jonah in the belly of a fish and called another prophet and say, hey, go over to Nineveh and preach. Yes, Lord. And Jonah would have been sitting in the belly of a fish with seaweed wrapped around his head, dead. But see, God is so merciful. He's so kind. The same one who was merciful to Jonah wanted to be merciful to the Ninevites. But Jonah wasn't having it. I ain't going to preach the message now. I'm too far gone. I'm too far in it. Yeah, I ain't gonna preach that one I had prepared. That's gonna wait. Let me share. You see, God allows things to happen to you, to happen to peoples that we don't agree with. And we get all up in our feelings. And I get it. God knows we're but dust. He knows we're human. And I was listening to a message this morning on humility by John Piper. And you know, you ever listen to people when you find out that where they are, their teaching is, you're actually living it. You're living it. And on Friday, I went to a job, my second job. And I had done this lady a few years before. And she wasn't in the condition a few years before that she's in now. And so when I got there, I said, "Yes, ma'am, you know, show me what you want done and everything." And we're walking around the house. And then I perceived, not too long after being there, that this woman perhaps had quite a case of dementia or something. Something was wrong. Because when we would talk, she would talk about everything, if anything. If I went to move a chair, she would talk about, "That's my husband's chair." She'd go back in the years and talk, and then I move a ladder. She says, "This ladder is here because I need to. And I'm looking at her like, "Ma'am, I need to clean the carpet." And I'm looking at her with that look to see, and what I need you to do is to get out of my way. You need to go somewhere. See, this is me, because you call me here to work, I come in work mode. Okay, now I can talk you under the table. Y'all know me, I can talk. However, what was my brother say? If you can talk and work at the same time, we good. But if you can't, and so I began to feel Jonah. Now remember, God is sovereign. Is he sovereign? Okay, so he's either sovereign or he's not. That means that what comes to you and I tomorrow came through his hand. So when it comes through his hand, are we going to still bless the Lord at all times? So I'm talking to Jesus. I'm talking to, I said, "Okay, Father, I see. Help me. Help me not be me. Help me." Dude, hey, now see, y'all laughing, but I wasn't laughing. Do you hear me? I'm crying. I said, "Father, help me not be me, because I tell you what I want. I'm Jonah now. I don't want to go preach to the Ninevites." See? And I want this woman to get out of my way, because I'm watching me, and it's like I'm having this internal dialogue. It's like, why do you want her to get out your way? Because I want to get on with my day so I can get on with my life. My life. Well, hold it. But I thought your life was in the palm of my hand. Hey, yeah. Well, but then if I gave you this 12 o'clock job with an 81-year-old woman who has dementia and who's slow and who's in your way, guess what? See, in my, I wasn't feeling that. I was just like, "Father, help me. Help me, because I see me. I see me and I don't see you. And I need to see you. I need to, because I'm recognizing what's going on. I'm recognizing this. And I'm recognizing that God's not glorified by my attitude. God's not glorified by what's going on in me." And so he allowed this to show me. And so I'm trying to deal with where I am. And I'm not doing too good. And, you know, because you can't hunker down your flesh and make your flesh be spiritual. Because you know what? The flesh cannot be spiritual. Amen. And so I'm getting, you know, I get done with some things and I'm getting through the job and I'm coming to the end because I'm praying the whole time. Lord, get me out of this house. I just can't take that. I need to, you know, when you call me to do a job and then you don't let me do the job. You stand in my way, literally looking at me like, and I'm like, okay, just patience, just be still. And so I make it through part of that. I'm not going to keep you long. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, we're settling up. Check time to pay. And I'm over the hill. We're coming in for a landing. And this woman who is as pale as the sheet on that cross. She's as pale as the sheet on that cross. She looked at me, touched my arm and said, you need to put on some sunblock. Now, I thought we were coming in for a landing. I said, the hard part is over. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She said, you need to put on some sunblock because you awfully dark. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then what I thought was coming in for a landing went back up like this. And I said, in my mind, you know, if you ever been in such a way where it was like, I was like, Jesus. She said, yeah. You know, I had a friend, he was from the islands and we used to work together. She said, that was the blackest man I ever seen in my life. And she said, oh yeah. And you need to put on some sunblock. She said, you know, he went to the islands and for vacation. And when he came back, she says, hey, you are dark. You are black. And the other people are like, what are you doing talking to him like that? He said, well, she just sees that I have a tan. And at this point, I am out. It's like an out of body experience. I am like, you say, Pastor, why are you telling me this? Because where was Jesus when that was going on? He's right where he always been. He's right where he always been. Where was Jesus when slaves were taken from Africa? He's right there. Where was Jesus when Hitler did what he did to the Jews? He's right there. All of that Jesus endured in himself. He not only died for their sin, but he died to redeem our pain. He died to redeem our pain, and for so much so to Jesus said this to the people who nailed him to the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is a woman with dementia. And as she was talking to me, it finally dawned on me, Father, forgive her. For she knows not what she's doing. God is sovereign. He knew that woman was going to go there. I didn't. Did it take me by surprise? Like you would not imagine. But was Jesus there in it with me? Yes, he was. For what purpose? He could be represented in me as I'm transformed into his image and likeness. But see, part of that transformation is this. You got to realize who you are first. Let me tell you who you are. You ain't him. That's what you realize is, hey, I am not him. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Father. Because we are so broken. We are so tore up without Jesus. And I'm talking about the Christians. I ain't even talking about the world. Look here. Come on, the Christians tore up. So I don't know how you're suffering today. I don't know what form it takes. I do know this. As we will get back to with Job that at the end of it all, God essentially said to Job this. He said, Job, everything that exists is mine. And I do with it whatever I will. Job said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. And when you see Jesus, we all, Isaiah 6 had the same experience. He said, when my eye sees you, he says, I now abhor myself. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Then he said this, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. When you get a revelation of who he is, it's going to put in proper perspective where your flesh, where you belong. All the time. When Jesus said, throw the net on the right side of the boat, they caught a great haul of fish. Jesus said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Because when he recognized who Jesus was, it shined a light on his own sin, and he repented and asked God to forgive him. That same process goes on in you and I. Come on. He shows us who we are, where we are, and that causes us to cry, oh God, in thy light, the psalm says, we see light. In your light, we see light. And so Job recognized that at the end, he recognized I belong to him and God owes me no answer, no explanation. He owes me nothing. He owes me nothing. God, why did this happen? Why did that? Oh, no. Mm-mm. No. We ask the question, but how many have got an answer for the why? Hardly anyone. He's sovereign. He's sovereign. He's king. And he's good and he's righteous and he's true. He's just and he's pure. And there's no one like him. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we worship you today. Father, we humble ourselves before you. For who are we? Who are we? We're but dust. Hey, we're but dust that you animated with your life-giving spirit. Lord, we humble ourselves underneath your mighty hand. And we say you are righteous. You are exalted. You are true. You are just and you are pure in all of your ways. And in all of your doings, in all of your dealings. With man, oh God, you are exalted and there's no one like you. And Father, we pray, Lord, that we would know what it is to surrender, Lord, our lives, to lay it all on the altar, to know, oh God, that we are yours, created by you and for you. Help us to know what it means to live for your ultimate glory and praise. Help us to understand, Lord, that when the world and even sometimes when the broad section of the church is saying go one way, you're saying go another, that we go another. That we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, not another. We thank you that this is the day that the Lord has made. Hey, you've given us this day, not we ourselves. So help us, Father, to live it the way you have ordained us to live it, oh God. Help us to give ourselves to your purpose. Help us to hear, thus saith the Lord, in our inner man. This is the way. Walk ye in it, oh Lord, that every divine unction, Lord, that every divine motivation, oh God, Lord, we would hear. We would surrender ourselves to. So that your glory, oh God, would fill the earth. Your glory, O Lord, would be represented in our lives. Oh God, we pray. Plead the blood of Jesus over every life, over every marriage, over every family, over all of our children, over our relationships. Father, we pray for reconciliation and restoration, O God. We pray for healing in sick bodies, Lord, over Bill and Sherry, over Sherry's mother, Marilyn, oh God. We bless and pray, oh God, Lord, your favor and your kindness, Lord, over Francis and Pamela, oh God, in the Dumbo family. Lord, we pray, oh God, for your, hey, Lord, your life, oh God, to undergird them, oh God, to undertake for them and lift them up on eagle's wings, oh God, and strengthen them, oh God, and do for them and in them what no man can do. We pray for Daniel, his family, his father, Lord, who's ill. Pray for his mother, Lord, who's stressed. Oh, God, that your mercies, oh, God, would undertake for them, oh, God, carrying them, oh, God. Lord, even to old age, you said, I am he who will carry you. Touch our brother Bill, oh, God, in his body. Touch brother Doug at Nova. Touch, oh, God, your people. Touch our sister Felicia and Rosalie and Carrie Graham, who has come down with COVID. Touch Steve Graham, oh God, in his body, oh Lord. Oh, we pray for healing in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, oh God, that there's no distance in prayer. We thank you that your spirit, Lord, rests within your people. So we thank you, oh God, for your touch in our hearts and in our lives. Touch all those requests. Lord, we pray on Tuesday evening with Leah and Shushu and Corey and Tracy and Krista and her children. And, oh Lord, Jesus. That Pastor Russell, whose house, whose apartment burned to the ground, help him, oh God. Help them to get what they need, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, we pray then for those in authority, the local, state, and federal levels. Father, we ask for humility. We pray, oh God, that you would grant us leaders humility, that we would know ourselves to be just men, to know that we don't have the answers, but we crave guidance and crave, Lord, the way forward. We pray for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discretion and prudence and good judgment. Father, we pray for this nation divided, oh God, angry, Lord, mean and willful. Have mercy upon us, O God, and deliver us from ourselves. Deliver us from our sin. We pray, O God, for nations. Lord, we pray for Ukraine. What's going on in Russia? Lord, between Yemen and Afghanistan, Lord, in Mozambique, Lord, in Eritrea and Ethiopia and Sudan and so many places, oh God. Lord, the catastrophes in Syria and Afghanistan, and Lord, we stand so in need of you. We are so needy, oh God, and we cry out for your mercies, oh God, Lord, that the, oh God, that the earth would be full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, oh my God. We need you. We need you like never before. Oh God, we cry out, oh God, for your mercies to wash over the nations of the earth. Lord, we are at one another's throats, oh God, in our willfulness and in our sin. Deliver us, I pray. Have mercy upon us. Thank you for going before us in all things. Thank you for knowing, letting us know that you are our hope. You are our only trust. So, Father, in all that we set ourselves to do today, indeed this coming week, we lay it all at your feet. It's in your hands to do with as you will. We ask this and all these things in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen, amen.